Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
An ambassador for the Dogs and broadcasting live from Truist Park every day.
All day, every day.
It's time for Bucks Beat with Buck Ballou.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Bucks Beat, the podcast sponsored by my good friend Mickey Himes and the GetMickey.com team at Keller Williams. Here on episode 23, I'm going to break down the top storylines at SEC Media Days 21. Looking forward to being there. I'm also going to be keeping it real with Georgia quarterback JT Daniels. No, he's not on the show. I'm just talking about JT. Plus, talk about being on the show, Bulldog legend Aaron Murray joins me in just a few moments. If you're looking for a Lake Lanier property or a home up 400, call Mickey Himes right now at 678-341-7474. Or go to getmickey.com, click, and speak with a Lake Lanier expert. Passion and experience matters in real estate. Mickey and his team have both. How do I know so much about Mickey Himes? He's been a trusted friend long before he committed to sponsor this podcast. By the way, heads up, my new show on The Fan debuts on Monday, July 19th. The Buck Ballou Show will air Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 on The Fan, with the focus on providing you with the best football and Braves talk in the Deep South. A few days ago, I dropped my list of top 10 quarterbacks in the Deep South. I had JT Daniels rated number 3. Now, today I read where Pro Football Focus rated JT Daniels the number 6 quarterback in a 14-team SEC and the 23rd best quarterback in college football. 23? Can you believe it? I can't. Anthony Triash of Pro Football Focus questioned JT's pocket presence, criticized his accuracy, stated that JT held the ball too long, and the biggest misrepresentation of all this, I believe, is they used his metrics from his freshman season at SC. Allow me to correct these guys with a different set of metrics, all right? The 4 games I saw JT Daniels play last season, and from November 21st to the end of the year, JT Daniels had one of the top total QBR ratings in the SEC and was a top 5 performance level in college football. So, Pro Football Focus not considering that? Wait, there's more. In the bowl game. Now, didn't he go 26 of 38 for almost 400 yards? And then led a last-second comeback with no timeouts. Pretty impressive to me. I guess Pro Football Focus must not have been paying attention to that. And then in the G-Day scrimmage, JT Daniels looked absolutely awesome. Now, I know it's a scrimmage. All right, I realize that. Here's my thumbnail sketch of JT Daniels in my evaluation. JT Daniels is now healthy and comfortable in this Monken scheme. Daniels makes a lot of good, quick decisions. This is something Kirby Smart is very impressed with. Also, JT manipulates the pocket very well, in my estimation, and is accurate with the football at all levels, short, intermediate to deep. This guy's tough, stares down the barrel, delivers the ball, and takes the shot. I mean, he's not scared. One of the reasons why he's an outstanding leader on this Georgia team. I'm expecting a huge season from JT. Look for big numbers. He's got playmakers galore. Let's check back with Pro Football Focus after the season to see where they have JT Daniels rated then. Right now, they seem to have it all wrong. 23rd best quarterback in college football? Not a chance. Let's bring on one of the SEC's great quarterbacks. He's the career SEC leader in both career passing yards and career touchdowns. He is Aaron Murray.
Bucks Beat
And joining me now is Bulldog legend Aaron Murray, busy calling college football, CBS Sports Network. And then you've got the Punt and Pass podcast with our buddy Drew Butler. Aaron, you got a lot going on, young family. How are you getting it all done these days?
Great teamwork with the wife and I, especially with the one-year-old. And he's been, we got lucky. He's been super good, easy, always happy, just loves to eat and giggle and have a good time. So he's awesome. And, yeah, just gearing up for a season, man. It's exciting. On my Sirius XM show, we've been talking the past couple weeks, just getting ready for SEC Media Days. And, you know, the big talk is just how this season is going to be, you know, somewhat normal. You know, obviously there'll be a couple things here or there a little bit different, but a lot better than it was last year. More people in the stands, more people on campus. I think, you know, CBS-wise, we were all on site for games, which made it nice. But I know ESPN, my buddies over there, like Shock, and some of those guys were calling games from their house, which made it a little bit more difficult. So just getting back to normal college football, normal fall. So really excited to get that going here in the next few weeks and come kick off end of August.
Aaron, let's talk about JT Daniels on the field. A lot of talk about him off the field, cashing in, but we'll save that for later. What about on the field? Should we be expecting to see a top 10 level quarterback in college football this season? Because I'm seeing, you know, there's some people on the bandwagon. There's some people that are not. All the people in the Georgia Bulldog Nation seem to be on the wagon. But nationally, I'm hearing some doubt out there. What do you expect us to see out of JT?
I'm excited. You know, I'll say that. I'm still, you know, I wouldn't say I'm completely on the bandwagon just because I don't know based on the teams we played last year. Let's not forget, when he took over, we played, was it Mississippi State, which was down and out. You know, they were barely able to field a team to come to Athens. South Carolina, their season was over with. They really, you know, had nothing to go for. I think I don't even know if J.C. Horn was playing in that game. You know, they didn't play top talent to finish the year off. Besides Cincinnati, and that Cincinnati game was probably not the best offensive performance that they had as an offense. So, you know, is he an upgrade from, you know, Stetson, who I love Stetson? Is he an upgrade from Stetson and, you know, kind of the issues we had at the end of the season? Yeah, I think he's a big upgrade. How good can he be? I don't know. You know, I love what he was doing at South Carolina. You know, he was having a great game before he tore his ACL. I love what he did last year for the Dogs, accurate. Has some great touch on the deep balls, gave his receivers the opportunity to win some 50-50 battles. But I want to see it. I want to see it week one versus Clemson. Is this kid legit or not? They got talent around him. The receiving core, you know, why it hurts to lose Pickens. You had Gilbert in there as a big body guy, tight end, receiver, hybrid that can create some matchups. I think the receivers are going to be better because they're more experienced. They have another year in the system with Todd Monken. Running back crew is going to be great. Offensive line, you know, it's going to be a work in progress throughout, you know, fall camp. But those guys have recruited really well at that area, so I'm not too worried about the offensive line. So the pieces are around him to be successful. I think Monken's going to really open this thing up, allow him to air it out, spread all over the ballpark. So I'm looking for big things. We'll know week one versus Clemson. The good thing is that the schedule, when you look at the schedule, nothing crazy and not a lot of really intimidating defenses on that schedule either for the Georgia Bulldogs. So he should have a very successful year, I anticipate. But like I said, you know, before I crown him a Heisman, you know, dark horse, a guy that could be a potential first-round pick, I want to see what he can do against the Tigers on neutral site week one.
Yeah, that makes sense, obviously. Let's see what he's got. I'm expecting a jump just because he's more comfortable in the scheme. And speaking of the scheme, Aaron, so what should they be expecting out of the scheme? Is it a 50-50 balanced offense? Is it a pass-first offense?
I'm anticipating a little bit more pass-first offense. I think you had to get with the times a little bit. And you know, one of the reasons why Nick Saban's been so successful, I mean, there's a million different reasons to take us a whole show to go over it, but, you know, he adapts to the times, and he's seeing that, you know, football is changing from, you know, defense wins championships to a high-powered offenses with elite skill players win games and win championships. And you got to be able to score in the mid-30s if you're going to want to win the SEC championship, if you're going to want to win in the playoffs. So I think offensively, where we obviously have a stable backfield, we got depth there. The ability to push the ball vertical, create explosive plays, is going to be a key. So I would say, you know, it's not going to be 70-30 pass run. I could see more of a, you know, 55-45, 60-40 heavy pass, more 11 personnel. So, you know, three receivers, one tight end, one back, more of that kind of set this season to really allow JT to open it up. Because like I said, I have more confidence in these, you know, receivers were able to grow up a little bit last year. Get Gilbert matched up with his big body. Get Washington matched up with his big body. Similar to what Florida was able to do with Pitts last year. It's all about matchups. Can you move guys around within the offense to create those matchups? And I think Georgia has those weapons on the outside to be able to do that.
All right, let's hit on this epic opener with Clemson up in Charlotte. I'm already excited about the game. Basically, we're talking about it every day of the week here at work. They do a great job. Venables does a great job defensively of figuring out ways to get pressure on your quarterback. So can the Dogs' O-line, can that protection scheme hold up in that first game? Is that one of the big keys for you?
Oh, 100%. You know, Clemson really didn't lose a lot defensively last year. And I know we all remember the game from, you know, their last game of the season versus Ohio State and Justin Fields just thrashing them. So I was like, oh, you know, Clemson's defense is not that good. No, they're good. They're talented. And one of the reasons why he's able to get so much pressure is, you know, scheme-wise, he's tremendous at disguising and getting guys in the right position. And he always, you know, he likes to hold his cards to the end and call those late audibles to get his guys in the best position possible. But he also has a bunch of 4- or 5-star guys. You know, he has talent on that side of the ball. So, yeah, I mean, the one area of concern for Georgia's offense right now is, you know, bringing 5 guys together to get ready to go when it comes to communication, when it comes to working as a unit. Because, I mean, you can have 3, you can have 4 good guys up front that communicate, but if you have 1 weak link in that unit, the whole thing tumbles down, especially when you face elite defenses and elite defensive coordinators. So that's going to be the area. If they can hold up front, like I said, I have confidence in the receivers, I have confidence in the backs, I have confidence in the tight ends, and I have confidence in JT that he can get the job done. If they can build an offensive line, which they have the talent there, it's more about get those guys being able to communicate, work on the same page. I think the Dogs should be ferrets in the games. I think Georgia's a better team than Clemson. You know, I like Clemson's quarterback. I like what they got coming back defensively. I just think Georgia, from top to bottom, offense and defense, is a better team, especially being on a neutral site. So at the end of the day, you know, win, lose, win, it's huge. It's gigantic. It springs you forward to a very easy rest of the schedule. But if they lose, unless it's a blowout, but if it's a close game, it doesn't hurt the Dogs at the end of the day. So I think this can only help Georgia week one versus Clemson, especially if they can win that game big.
These Bulldog fans, a loyal group they are, so passionate. They're hoping this is the year Georgia finally gets over that Alabama hump. I know the Crimson Tide fans might be chuckling at that. Is this the year? Is this the time to get Alabama?
I hope so, but, you know, as long as Nick Saban's on that sideline, you never can feel too confident. But, you know, I do like their quarterback, Bryce Young. You know, watching him in the spring game, quick release, accurate, gets the ball out of his hands. They're going to be able to build that offense around him. You know they have talent all over the place there. You know they're going to be great defensively. They're a great team, and you just the way they recruit, the way Saban coaches, and the fact that they just win and win and win and win. So you can never doubt Alabama. Obviously, A&M is going to be a good team, probably the best defense in the SEC. They got a run game. They got 2 very good tight ends. They got some receivers. They got to rebuild their offensive line. They got to figure out who their quarterback is going to be. But you know, Jimbo's done a great job recruiting. A&M is going to be a very tough team in the West. And I think LSU is going to be improved. I love both their quarterbacks, Miles Brennan and Max Johnson. So I think the SEC West is going to be a very tough road for a lot of those teams to get through to make it to Atlanta. Ole Miss is going to be good. If they can figure out defensively what the heck they're doing, offensively they're going to be a juggernaut. Mississippi State's going to be improved. So Alabama or LSU or A&M, whoever wins the West, could be a little bit more beat up, you know, heading into Atlanta, heading into the SEC Championship game, where right now, to me, when I look at the East, it's Georgia. And there's, in my mind, a significant drop to who is that number 2 team. And I'm not even going to say Florida's that number 2 team. It could be Kentucky. It could be Missouri with Connor Bazelak at quarterback. I don't know who the number 2 team is in the East. But I know Georgia is one, and they're one by a big margin. So they may be heading into that SEC championship game if they stay healthy and a lot better mindset than whoever does win the West. So this, to me, is a great opportunity for the Dogs to take advantage of a pretty light schedule and a team that's loaded on both sides of the ball.
Aaron, tell us about the Mark Richt experience, the impact he had on you, the experience of playing for him, and the impact with the recent diagnosis of Parkinson's.
Man, we were at dinner, my wife and I, when we saw the news, and it just, I was shocked, saddened. I mean, Coach Richt, as everyone knows, one of the greatest men out there. He loves coaching. He loves his players. He loves his family. He loves God. He is an incredible example for everyone of how to just be a great person. So, you know, super sad. I know he has a lot of support and love from all of his players and family and fellow coaches and Dog Nation and Miami and all of college football are praying for him. And he's a tough son of a gun. We all know that. So he's going to continue to fight and battle and, you know, all the prayers in the world for him, man. He was a huge influence on my life as a player and post-career at Georgia. You know, he always taught us how to play football, but he also taught us how to be a man and how to be a father and be successful once football is done as well.
And how about Coach Bobo now over there at Auburn? He's one of the enemies now after seeing him at South Carolina. So what'd you learn from Coach Bobo at Georgia?
It's gonna be weird seeing Bobo in those Auburn colors. I'm gonna be giving him a lot of crap for that. I know he's gonna hate wearing them, but you know, hey, he's got a great gig, and you know, Coach Harsin's a tremendous coach. I had an opportunity to cover him a lot at Boise State. It's a really good coaching staff. You know, Bobo is a heck of a coordinator, and you know, for Bo Nix, I'm happy as heck that I got Bobo and Harsin as my head coach and OC. I mean, that's two guys that know the position, that have played the position, that really know the fundamentals of what it takes to succeed. And that's what Bo needs. Bo Nix needs to work on his fundamentals, staying more consistent with his footwork in the pocket, keeping a great base, trusting his O-line, all that stuff. And you know, you could not ask for two better guys than Bobo and Harsin to work with him on that. So I'm looking forward to a jump from Bo Nix this year, just hopefully not when they play the Dogs. But I do think with those coaches around him, he should be better. A lot better quarterback this season. So, yeah, Coach Bobo, he knows his stuff. He knows offenses. He knows how to scheme. He knows how to put their skill players in the best situation to go out there and succeed.
Aaron Murray, it's time for the big three, which means you've only got three questions left to answer.
Let's roll out the big three.
Number one, all right, you're a four-year starter at Georgia, so your high school had to prepare you for what college had in store. Talk about the experience at Plant High School and your advice to the high school quarterback.
Oh, we had a great coach, Coach Wiener, who's now coaching at Toledo, their quarterback coach and co-OC. You know, we've put a lot of quarterbacks into college football. Robert Marr before me went to Miami. Philip Ely after me went to Toledo. Another quarterback went to Georgia Tech. I mean, he's a heck of a coach. It's all about fundamentals. It all starts with your feet. If your feet aren't great, just like with any sport, it's crazy. If the lower half doesn't work properly, the upper half really can't. Unless you're a guy like Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, who just have incredibly stupid arm talent, who can throw from just outrageous angles. If you don't have a great base, you will not succeed. So we would work a ton on footwork, being able to get my feet in the proper position with crazy pockets, all that stuff. So my advice to all high school quarterbacks would be work on your lower half. Get that right, because if your lower half works properly, you know, your upper half and your arm is just guiding the football. That's all it is. It's just guiding it there. So get those feet right.
Number two. Our family got to see you play a lot, Aaron, during those 4 years in person, cheering you on. You made Georgia fans proud. You know, we have spoken about the SEC title game against Alabama, but I want to bring up one I really had fun at, was watching you hit those five touchdown passes against Nebraska in 13. What do you remember about that one?
Fun fun bowl game. Being able to go to the Capital One Bowl in Orlando was exciting. We had a great time that week as a team, and it was always fun to win the bowl game. You know, unfortunately for me, my first 2 years, we did not. We lost, the Liberty Bowl, maybe?
Yeah, Liberty to UCF. We were there, too.
Yes, that was tough. And, the next year we were in Tampa, lost a heartbreaker to Michigan State. So, just to get that first bowl victory, and send the seniors off on the right note, you always want to send those guys off with a win. And to win that game, to have a really great offensive performance, I mean, we crushed them. So, and a good Nebraska team. So, to me, that was the most important thing. Send the seniors off with a W. It was an incredible season. Obviously, really sad way that the championship game ended, but we came back, we bounced back, played well that game, and it was a great victory to end the season off.
Number three. All right, if the Packers called today from Green Bay and said, Rodgers isn't showing up, we need you in camp here in the coming days. Aaron, are you going? You saying yeah?
No chance. I put football behind me, just enjoying commentating and hanging out with my little man and wife and dogs and trying to get as much golf in as I can before the season starts. But, yeah, I don't think mentally or physically I'd be capable of playing in a preseason game right now.
Come on, man. I've seen you throw that dig route. I don't know if I've seen anybody throw it in there harder than you. You still got it.
I mean, the only throwing I'm doing nowadays is throwing tennis balls for my dog. So I honestly don't know the last time I picked a football up. So
and diapers in a trash can.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So it would be awesome, but I'm hoping Aaron Rodgers is back in a Packers uniform this year.
Hey, well, best of luck this coming season, man. Keep up the great work. You got a lot of people very proud of the job you and Drew been doing on that podcast, too. But thanks for taking time out for us, man.
I appreciate it. Go Dawgs.
Bucks Beat.
Great having Aaron on. I've been working on that for weeks, so it really feels good to finally close the deal on that. Got a ton of respect for Aaron Murray. He's a man on the move in the sportscasting business, too. Had that one right a year ago about Pruitt at Tennessee. Aaron was all over it. Right now, I'm packed up and excited about my trip to Birmingham for SEC Media Days 21. I want to share the top five storylines you're going to be hearing all about over in Hoover coming up next week. Number one, top storyline, Alabama the favorite to repeat in spite of their considerable losses, especially on offense. Saban's amazing. Storyline number two, will Coach O and LSU bounce back and challenge Bama? Or was that championship season just catching lightning in a bottle? Everything seemed to go right for him then. It was horrendous a year ago, and you let Coach O have another season like last year, and he's going to be on that hot seat. Storyline number three, are the Georgia Bulldogs legit? Beat Clemson and Alabama legit. You're going to hear a lot about that. Can the quarterback whisperers, number four here, storylines, SEC Media Days, can the quarterback whisperers, Dan Mullen and Jimbo Fisher, work their magic with Emory Jones and Haynes King? If they can do that now, both these teams can contend. And number five, storyline five, SEC Media Days, who has the best transition season? I'm going with Harsin over at Auburn. That's going to do it for episode 23 of Bucks Beat. Hope you enjoyed it. If so, please like, subscribe, and maybe even drop a nice review. Want to thank the sponsor of the podcast, Mickey Himes, and the GetMickey.com team at Keller Williams. Again, if you need a home up on Lake Lanier or up 400, call Mickey Himes. Episode 24, got some big things in store. Hope you enjoy next week. I got a big one I'm going to bring in next week as we continue on Bucks Beat.
Subscribe to Bucks Beat and get the latest updates every week from the most connected guys in Georgia sports. Follow Buck at BuckBaloo8 on Twitter and check out all the fan podcasts at thepodcastpark.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.